Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a hectic few days. There was work, of course, plus a trip to the local chip with the neighbour's old fridge. I saw the second episode of Mobland on Paramount. Brilliant, by the way. But I've also been on a whirlwind whistle-stop tour around South America, taking in 46 stadiums across 29 cities. It was a crazy journey around two football-crazy nations, Brazil and Argentina, and my guide was our next guest, football writer and football fanatic Rodrigo Barneski, author of a fantastic new book called Outsiders, a football fan's South American odyssey. I've been on that journey with him. He'll take you on it if you get hold of the copy of the book. And he joins us now. Good morning, Rodrigo, from Sao Paulo. The thing that emerged most clearly from this book, the minute I started reading it, was how huge Brazil and how huge Argentina are, and some of the huge distances fans have to cover to go to the games. Have you got any idea how many miles you travelled in preparation for this book and over the course of your football fan kind of journey?
Hi, thank you for having me. Good morning to everyone. I don't have this number. I'd say more than 1,000 miles for sure. Because the book covers only a small part of my travels through Latin America, so I have to choose some stories to tell in the book. But I really love to travel and to know our continent, not only Brazil but also Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, and other countries. I was in Peru last week.
Wow.
To watch a football games for Copa Libertadores, and this is my passion. You know, so I everything is not is more important than football matches for me.
And I mentioned the journeys you take. One of the chapters in the book is the Derby trilogy, and I don't mean Derby County, of course. I mean a Derby between, I think, Prudential, and you go to Prudential, which is, you say, the equivalent of asking fans to go three times a season for Man United fans to go up to Aberdeen in Scotland. And Sao Paulo itself, the province, is bigger than the United Kingdom area-wise. It's massive.
Yeah, that's right. My idea was to tell the people in UK and in other countries how big Brazil is, how big São Paulo is, and we have to cover a lot of long distances to watch football games. And this time that we went to the city in Presidente Prudente, we have to walk like 400 miles just to watch a derby between Palmeiras and Corinthians. So it was like if the supporters of City and United had to travel to Aberdeen in Scotland to watch three football matches between the clubs of Manchester. So it's really something that it's crazy, but it happened a lot in Brazil.
And you also dig and delve in the book brilliantly into the important other aspects of football related to football. Like, for example, the food in the different stadiums in the different countries you go to. I thought that was particularly intriguing. I mean, over here, we like a pie and we like a pint of beer. Very different food on offer in the South Americas, I think.
Yeah, and the bad part here in Latin America is that we don't have beer in the stadium. So we are not allowed to have beer. This is something that has been happening for the past 30 years. But we have a lot of foods, regional foods here in Brazil and in other countries. I'd say that in Bolivia and Colombia, things are a little bit more spicy and a little bit dangerous sometimes. But it's really a good way to know the culture of these countries and of the people that live in these countries.
And there's a mouthwatering photographs. One is of the Buenos Aires way of preparing meat, parrilla, I think it is. And then in Belo Horizonte, you talk about the tropero, the rancher. So there's loads of different food on offer. There's also, though, it seems in the book, the constant fear of or threat of or anticipation of a violent encounter between the fans. I mean, it's relatively recently they've been separating the fans, which the person who wrote the forward to your book kind of regrets. But that seems inevitable because there's quite a high level of violence, I think, in some of the games.
Yeah, you know, Brazil and South America are dangerous places in general. And football is part of our society. So we have a violent society. We have problems related to clashes and to confrontations between people. And when you go to a stadium, we're talking about crowds. We're talking about thousands of people going to these places. We have rivalries between clubs here in Brazil and between Brazil and Argentina. So it's really difficult, especially when it comes to Copa Libertadores games, to avoid this kind of situation. So as a journalist, I try to tell these stories considering my point of view. Of course, I am also a supporter. I'm a kind of hooligan. I'm not a violent person, but I like to go off the crowds and to understand how people behave. And my perspective is to tell these stories and to show how things happen in football stadiums in Latin America.
I mean, some of the photographs in the book are absolutely astonishing. There's one of the Monumental de Nunes in 2012, which was the last Super Clásico, I think, in Buenos Aires, before the away fan ban came in. And there's a gigantic inflatable pig being moved around. What was the story behind that then, Rodrigo? Why a pig?
Oh yeah, that's a good story. Because River Plate supporters are considered the wealthiest in Argentina, and they treat the Boca Juniors supporters as they are part of the scum, you know, and they call them pigs. So this is a way for them to. This is something interesting because it's not only something related to the supporters, but to the club itself. Because this inflatable pig that was shown to Boca Juniors supporters was something that the club, the River Plate, allows the supporters to prepare. So it's not something that here in Brazil it is allowed. The police here is very strict and they forbid everything. But in Argentina, this kind of thing happens a lot. And unfortunately, this derby, the Super Clásico, as they call it, was the last one before the away ban was decreed in Argentina back in 2013. So we're talking about 12 years without away supporters being allowed in Argentinian fields. It's a shame, and it is terrible for the culture of the supporters.
I mean, we have a similar thing here in Scotland with the Old Firm derby, Celtic and Rangers. They don't have away fans because it's, you know, there's always that fear of too much confrontation, fear of physical violence. But also, it seems to be, I mean, there's a chunk in the book about the, it almost seems to be a kind of requirement that fans will scale the wire fences at some stage in the game to get, either get on the pitch or show their either appreciation or, you know, disapproval of what's going on the pitch. And that seems to be part of it, climbing, scaling the fences. Have you ever done that, Rodrigo?
Yes, and the interesting part is that it is not allowed for the fans to climb the
But they
fences.
seem to do it,
But
don't they? They do it nonetheless.
yeah, because the police cannot control the fans, especially in the big games, especially when the game is really heat. So the police prefers not to go there and not to avoid this kind of behavior. So it's like almost a cultural aspect of football, especially in Argentina, Uruguay, and I'd say Colombia. Here in Brazil, it's not something that happened in the past few decades.
Because one of the captions in the book, you say that no one will be insane enough to stop the collective madness of those who've just conquered the continent of football. And there's a photograph of it happening the other way. The players of a team are crossing the moat filled with water to celebrate with the supporters. So it's like that, you know, it's the bond between the players and the fans is, it seems to me, much closer, much more intimate, if you like, than it is between, say, players and fans in this country at times.
Yeah, you know, our football here is not so good as in Europe, especially because our players are being sold to European clubs before they even turn 18. It is the case of Endrick in Real Madrid. It is now the case of Estevão that is going from Palmeiras to Chelsea in a few months. So the supporters try to connect to the club itself, to the t-shirt, to the symbols of the clubs, and not only to the players. So if you in my book, I don't have anything related to football players. This is something that doesn't interest me. I prefer to talk about this, the relationship between supporters and the clubs and the social bonds that are we have between the supporters and the teams that they support.
Now, you've also got a photograph of a Uruguayan stamp that someone's been allowed into the country for a Libertadores match. You say that it's a trophy status because it's very difficult to enter Uruguay for the Libertadores. Is that because of a fear of what the fans might do?
No, it was because this game was played in the middle of the pandemic back in 2021. So we don't have planes to go from Brazil to Uruguay. We don't have coaches. We don't have buses to go there. And and we are talking about 50,000 Brazilians fans that travel from Brazil to Uruguay. Talking about, in some cases, 2,000 miles to get there. And the only way is crossing the borders. So this stamp in my passport is something that I'm really proud of this because to go from São Paulo to Montevideo, it usually Today I can go from São Paulo to Montevideo in 1 hour and a half flight. It's really something that I can do anytime. But back then, during the pandemics, we don't have the logistics was a nightmare. So just to be there and just to cross the border, it was a victory.
Right, and that's why some of the fans were wearing surgical masks, I think, at some games, weren't they? Almost as a provocation.
And we went to Montevideo to play against Flamengo. Palmeiras is my team. Flamengo is one of our biggest rivals here in Brazil. So it was really important for us to win this game. And we became the three-time champions of Copa Libertadores. For most of Palmeiras supporters, this is the best day of our lives.
Now, there's a map at the front of the book. There's a great guide at the front of the book to the various clubs, the teams, and the countries themselves. And you make the point that the distance between, I think, São Paulo from Fortaleza is the equivalent of the distance from London to Istanbul in Turkey. And yet, this is a regular fixture, isn't it? A regular game that's played.
Yeah, Fortaleza has two teams, Fortaleza and Ceará. They are in the first division here in Brazilian football. And we have to go there at least twice a week, twice a year to play against these clubs. And we don't have trains here in Brazil. The roads are not good, they're not safe. So it is really expensive to make this kind of trip, not only when we think about Brazil, but thinking about Copa Libertadores games. Last week, I went to Lima in Peru. We're talking about 5 hours flight. So 5 hours to go, 5 hours
My
to return to
goodness.
Brazil in just one day. So it was a trip that I spent 24 hours. And from these 24 hours, 10 hours in a flight, in flights going and going and come back to Brazil. So it's really different from Europe because you have a really good logistics. Here in South America, it's really, really hard to see some our teams play abroad.
And there are times when you yourself have been involved in what sound like pitch battles. One track is called actually Pitch Battle, and that's at Montevideo in Uruguay, I think. And there are just a few hundred of you, as you said, call yourselves foreigners, and you're without police protection. And that sounds very hairy, very dangerous indeed, that particular encounter, Rodrigo.
Yeah, this night could be a tragedy for me and most of my friends. We were, I would say, 1,500 supporters, away supporters. And in the other side, we have 40,000 supporters. And in the final of the game, we have a clash between the players.
Yep.
And this went to the terraces. And the Uruguayans were really trying to kill us. They want to invade our space, and we are outnumbered. And we don't have police because the security of the stadium was handled by private agents from Peñarol. So a group of, I would say, 20 supporters from Palmeiras avoid a tragedy. They secured the fence between the two sets of supporters. And this night was really, really impressive, really a terror for all of us who were there.
And the book starts with an unusual way because it's about a memory of you as a much younger man. I think you're 9 or 10 almost, but you haven't been to your first stadium game then. And you get entranced by some away fans in coaches chanting as they leave the stadium. Tell us about that, if you would, Rodrigo, finally, that very early football memory of yours.
Yes, I was 9 years old. I haven't ever been to a stadium. And I was in a coastal city here close to São Paulo. And the supporters of Santos are returning from São Paulo where Santos beat Palmeiras, which is my team. And they are mocking us for this game. But I was a kid, but I was really impressed by that crowd, by the crowd. I was there and I'm thinking, I want to be just like them. I want to go to stadiums. I want to support my team. I want to travel on this kind of convoy. And this is something that really passionate me from the very beginning of my childhood. And I would say that it's one of the reasons why I became so obsessed by traveling to watch my team play.
The book is a fantastic read, folks. It's called Outsiders, published by Pitch. Outsiders, a football fanatic, South American Odyssey. The author is Rodrigo Barneski, spelled Birneschi, Barneski. And I wanted to ask you a final question more generally. I know you're talking about your team, Palmeiras, and Teague, but what do you make of the current state of the Brazilian national team? You're looking for a coach. The you know, the continent itself is a football hub. It's incredibly important to us all as football fans. But there's a sense in which maybe people are disappointed with the way Brazil have performed recently. What are your thoughts on the current state of the Brazilian side? And who would you like to see as the new coach, Rodrigo?
You know, Paul, it's hard for you to understand, but in general, Brazilians are now too disconnected from the national team, especially the supporters that are used to go to the field. This is not a recent phenomenon, but I'd say it's rather it's something that has developed over the past few decades, and it is linked to several factors. For the first one is that our players are being sold to European clubs too early. The second one is that the Brazilian team now plays more often in London, New York, or Miami than in our country. And when matches are held in Brazil, and we're talking about the World Cup qualifier, for example, tickets are sold at exorbitant prices, changing the crowd dynamics. So instead of having the local supporters, we have the stands filled with tourists. So we are really disconnected from the national team, especially because in the past few years, the Brazilian T-shirt was connected to the far-right protesters. Yeah. So to be honest, Paul, I'm not really interested in Brazilian national team. So I'm not the kind of person who watches the Brazilian team playing. It's something really disconnected from the reality of the supporters, unfortunately.
Now, you've got a wonderful foreword to the book by a man called Luiz Antonio Simas, his work I'm not familiar with, but I'm going to try and read. I mean, he's written 20-odd books, I think you say. And he talks about the time when away fans were together, or, you know, allowed to kind of mingle with each other. Why do you think it is? And it's happened in Europe as well, happened in this country to an extent, although the days of, you know, my memories of football violence in the 70s, 80s are thankfully now just that memories. But why has the tribalism, the rivalry got more intense as the years have gone on, rather than less intense, do you think? I mean, people talk about the beautiful game, but many more of us are just interested in our team. Why do you think that is?
That's a hard question. But I connect this with this what I told before, that Brazilian society has become really violent in the past few decades. So the football is part of the society. So I'd say it's more a reflex of the society than any other reason.
Rodrigo, it's a brilliant book. I hope it's not going to be your last book, and we want to keep in touch with you. That's Rodrigo Barneski, the author of Outsiders, a football fanatic, South American Odyssey. Certainly one of the best football books I've ever read. Seriously, folks, published by Pitch. Make sure you get hold of a copy and listen out for us here on TalkSport and on Talk, because we are live till 5. Huge thanks to Rodrigo, live from São Paulo.